praise the Lord. Glory. I did my best to prepare this message. There's only one page. That's a plus. One page, 1 hour. 2 page, 2 hours. Amen. Hallelujah. But I do want to share this with us this morning. And Brother Lucas went to great effort to get the perfect picture for the title of this message this morning. And I want to share with us about third-class passengers. Third-class passengers. And we're doing it a little bit different today. I do that maybe once or twice a year. I'm the nuts and bolts guy. You know, I just put the bolt in, put the nut on, and I tighten her down tight. Praise God. I have been known throughout my lifetime to twist off many bolts, and I've learned by the grace of God to hold back just enough till it's good and tight. You know, you've heard that terminology. It's tight, but it's right. Hallelujah. Praise God. So one day, when people traveled widely by stagecoach, it's been a long time since we've had that day, a man went to purchase a ticket. And he was asked if he wished to travel by first, second, or third class. He looked at the coach to ascertain that all the seats were identical, and decided to travel third class. So he's surveying the situation here. He's looking in a coach. He sees that there are no difference in the seats, seating arrangement, or anything. And he's thinking in his mind, okay, why do I need to pay for a first class ticket when they're all going to be sitting in the same seats I'm going to be sitting in? So, you know, he's really, really thinking this through. As the coach rolled along the dusty road, he rejoiced over the way he had saved money. Other people who had paid more were no better off than he. As they approached a steep hill, the horses decreased their speed, and the coach came to a halt. The driver jumped down from his seat, opened the door of the coach, and this is what he said. First class passengers, keep your seats. Second class passengers, get out and walk. Third class passengers, get behind and push. What I want to share with us this morning is that God needs third class passengers. He needs children, believers, who will get behind what he's doing and push. And push. Father in heaven, we praise your holy name. We thank you, Lord, for how you've already moved in this house this morning. Lord, refreshing our minds, refreshing our souls, giving us a fresh touch of tenacity, Lord God, to go forward with you. Now I pray, Lord God, that you would just take this word, Lord God, and write it in our hearts, Lord, that we can know that you're in this house and this is what you're speaking to us. Lord, to get behind what you are doing and become the workers behind the scenes, the workers to push the work forward. Oh God, to be that third class passenger for your kingdom. Praise our God. In Mark chapter number 4, verse number 14, we find the story of the sower and the seed. And the sower soweth the word. And of course, Jesus gives the disciples an understanding of what this story is all about. In verse number 15 of Mark chapter number 4, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. So there's nothing that really transpires on the wayside. Verse number 16. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Verse number 18. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Verse number 20. And these are they which are sown on the good ground, such as hear the word, receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. These are the third class passengers. Hallelujah. These are the third class passengers. These are the ones who will work wherever work needs to be done. Hallelujah. These are the ones that have heard the word. They received the word, and they immediately began to do the word. Hallelujah. And thus becoming fruitful for the kingdom of God. You realize fruitful for the kingdom of God means something you're doing right here, right now. Fruitful for the kingdom of God is how you're living your life and applying God's word to your life, thus your light shining out into a lost and dying world. Wherever you go, light shining, because wherever you go, you're living for Jesus Christ. Wherever you go, you're living the word of God. Wherever you go, you are mindful that you are God's light source. And you keep that on your mind. You're that third class passenger. So when everything kind of starts going rough, everything starts going hard, and it's time that we are pushing up a hill, hallelujah, in the house of God, in the church of the living God, then you get right in there and you begin to push, hallelujah, with all the other third class passengers. You're always going to have first class passengers. They're just in it for the ride. They like it because God moves. They like it because the word's preached hot and tight. But when it comes to work, they're nowhere to be found. That's the ones that Jesus likened unto the stony ground. They receive the word. They receive it with gladness. But when it gets difficult and hard, they're immediately offended. Praise God. Have you ever been offended in the house of God? Let me pull it down really to where I'm after, what I'm after, because offenses will come. Jesus said they'll come. And it would be wonderful if every believer never got carnal, but it doesn't work that way. That's why the Bible talks so much about it, because we got to be reminded of how carnal we can become. And offenses usually come when we're carnal. And what I mean by carnal and what the Bible means by carnal, it's when we are selfish. And we just don't like the way somebody treated us. And we become offended. That's not the offense I'm talking about. Those things will happen. Third class passengers just get behind the thing and just keep pushing until it's prayed through. First class passengers, they're just going to get offended and sit like a knot on a log. Help me, Jesus. But I'm talking about when the preacher starts preaching the word of God and you get mad. Because he's preaching about your life. He's preaching about your sin. He's preaching about your secrets. Now, in days gone by, I think even sometimes in Calvary Lighthouse Church too, I've had individuals come to me after preaching in a service and they just look at me and they say, how did you know what I was talking about last night? And I look right back at them and I said, I had no idea what you was talking about last night. But God did. But God did. Hallelujah. And so that's what I'm talking about. The first class passengers, a lot of times, they get offended at the preaching of the word. They get offended when the pastor and the preachers begin to talk about their lifestyle and begin to talk about where they're living and begin to talking about the sin that they are committing. And they get offended because that first class passenger really doesn't have any desire to get behind and push. All they have desire is just give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. They become the ones that always want prayer but never give prayer. They're the ones that always want financial help but never give financial help. See, these are first class passengers. See, you'd think first class passengers, they would be the best. Who was pushing? Who was pushing? Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. And so we see then, you know, the second class passengers, they are the ones that receive and hear the word, and they desire to do the word, and they desire to live for God, but they will let anything and everything else take precedent to getting that done. There's your second class. They're the ones that had to get out. They still had to walk up the hill, but they really weren't helping anybody, were they? They were only helping themselves get up the hill. Why is that? Because everything else of the world and their lustful desires and oh, wow, occupy their mind to where their light's not shining. They're not really burdened to help somebody else. They are just striving to see if they can't maybe drag their own carcass to heaven. I trust you. Hope I'm. And I hope you don't think I'm being too cruel or mean, but you got to realize this is reality. I've been in this race. I've been in this battle. I've been in this fight for 39 years. I've been pastoring for about 25 or 27 years of that. And I have seen about everything I think you could actually see of people struggling in their Christianity. And it's not a strange thing, and it's not a bad thing to struggle. What the sad thing is when the power of God comes to help, it's not received. It's not received. Why would it not be received? Well, because of my own selfish desires. That's not the way I want to do it. Hang on with me. God's moving in the house. And you've been in Christianity long enough and Pentecost long enough, you know God's moving in the house. Yet at the same time, you're not moving in the house. Now, why would we not move if God is moving? You know, I want to be like a flag in the wind when God's moving. Hallelujah. Have you ever seen one of them great big flags at one of them car dealers there in Tulsa? And on a nice still day, it's just laying down, you know, hanging down that flagpost. Oh, but when that wind begins to blow, whoa, she goes full furl right into the wind, and she is making movement, and she is looking with the dignity and the power and the majesty of patriotism. Woo! You know what you're doing when you start moving with the wind of God? Hallelujah. You're rising up and showing forth to the lost and dying world and those sitting in the house of God the dignity and the power and the honor of the Holy God of heaven, because you're a flag unfurled. Hallelujah. And you are moving with the Spirit of God because you desire to have whatever God wants to give unto you or encourage you with or change in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You will never receive what God has for you if you never move with God. Once again, I have surveyed over these many years people who say, man, we need a move of God, and we just had one. Oh, I wish God would move, and he just did. What is that? Well, that's a second-class passenger who has allowed everything else to cloud their mind, and God's moving in their midst, and they don't even know it. So that can't really happen. I'll go read your Bible. Have you ever read the story of the two disciples on the road to Emmaus? I mean, Jesus, and the Bible reveals to us, Jesus comes right along in between them. That's how I picture it. He didn't come to the right side of them or the left side. He come in right behind them. Maybe never even parted them, but they probably moved aside to let him come right in between them. And there, what are they doing? They are whining. I don't know if you ever heard it like that or not. They are whining. They are complaining. They are discouraged. They are in despair. And they're just pouring it all out on this stranger that has come up to walk with them. We just don't understand why he had to die. We don't understand why things didn't go like we thought they were. We just don't understand. And we don't even know if we have any hope anymore. We don't know what we're going to do. Ever been there? That's where they were, on the road to Emmaus. Why were they leaving Jerusalem? Why were they on that road? Because they were throwing in the towel. They were giving up. Otherwise, they'd still be in Jerusalem waiting to see what's going to happen, but they're just, I'm going home. And they didn't even realize the Son of God had stepped on the scene. Until he revealed it to them. Woo! Not burn within us. Yeah. The very Son of God come right there on the scene. Their spirit and their soul sensed it, but their mind wouldn't accept it. Woo! Hallelujah. Why? Because they were so concerned about the cares, the trials, the discouragement, the despair. And they wouldn't realize. While they were walking, here's what should have happened. Hey, Bill. What, Bob? Do you feel that? There's a power here. Sir, who are you? That's what should have happened. That's how a Pentecostal child of God ought to be responding when the Spirit of God's moving in the house. He's got something he wants to share with us today. He's got something he wants to do in our lives today. Oh, God, come on in! Hallelujah! Now, that's a third-class passenger. Hallelujah. That second class passenger just sits there. Ha. That's just Brother Pepper and his emotion. That's just Brother Pepper. He's just trying to make us do something we probably don't even need to do. That's just Brother Pepper. He's going to tell me where I'm doing wrong again. When it ought to be, oh God, you're in this place. Speak, Lord. Your servant wants to hear. Hallelujah. That's your second class. They let the lust of other things enter into their minds, thus choking the word. In other words, the word's been there. It's been received. They want to do it, but then everything else just keeps them from it. Verse 20, and these are they that are sown on the good ground, such as hear the word, receive it, and do it. That's how you bring forth fruit. You hear the word, you receive the word, and you do the word. That's a third class passenger. That's that child of God who is ready to fall in behind whatever God is doing and push with all the rest of the third class passengers. Hallelujah. You know, you got your first class passengers who like to watch from the stagecoach. Keep up the good work. You're doing a great job. You got the second class passenger said, man, I wish I could be like a third class passenger. My, I wish I could live for God. I wish I, you know, you got those that wish they could. And then you got those that make that choice. I'm getting out of this coach and I'm getting down there with that third class passenger because I want to see this thing make it to the top. Woo, hallelujah to the Lamb. Praise God. What was your Sunday school class on this morning? What, you weren't here? Oh, you shouldn't have told me that. Sister Pepper made mention of Sunday school class, and this is just my time to shine here, praise God. You know, Sunday school class, it used to be everybody came to Sunday school. Days gone by, and you know, I'm not calling ages or anything, but Sister Betty, Sister Annie, y'all may remember this or understand this. Everybody used to come to Sunday school. Sunday school was a big thing. And then they'd leave for worship service, going home, get an early dinner. And then somewhere it began to roll around, then nobody comes to Sunday school, and everybody tries to come to worship service. And if you ever come to Calvary Lighthouse Church, then you ain't going to get out of here till 12:30, for sure, if not 1 o'clock. And there's not one. Uh-uh. There's not even one on the back wall. I can't even see that thing. You know, I don't wear my glasses up here. You ever wonder why? Praise God. Hallelujah. No, the reality is, hallelujah, that there is time here on this earth, but we want to make sure we use our time wisely. Amen. And if you really want to use your Sunday time wisely, you will be in Sunday school at 9:45. And if you want to be victorious in your walk with God, you will be here in Sunday school at 9:45. And if you want to grow in His grace and His knowledge and follow on to know the Lord, you will be here in Sunday school at 9:45. Because Sunday school is exactly what it says. It's school. And where do you learn the things of God? In school. Woo! So what you're telling me, and I'm sorry, but what you're telling me, if you don't think Sunday school is important, then you're telling me your spiritual growth is not important either. That's a second class passenger. But a third class passenger, hey, we need to start giving out pins and medals for attendance to Sunday school like they did when I was in Sunday school. Because I had one, I had medals for every year, and each year they gave you another pin for another year that you were faithful to Sunday school without missing one. I guess I just now realized that I've always been in Sunday school. Woo. You know where I was when I got saved, after I got saved? Who was it? That youth rally, they asked you, did you get saved on a Sunday morning? How many got saved on a Sunday morning? How many got saved on a Sunday night? How many got saved on a midweek service? How many got saved at home? There we go. Yeah. Now, how many of you are not saved here this morning? Because I don't know if I saw every hand go up. Praise our God. Ooh, hallelujah. But you know where I wanted to be after I got saved? Sunday school. Sunday school. I wouldn't miss a one of them. I only had to work maybe one or two Sundays the whole time I was working in a secular job. And I maybe have missed just a few, but Sunday, I was always there. Why? Because I wanted to grow. I wanted to be like Jesus. I wanted to know what his word said. I wanted to know how he wanted me to live. I wanted to know everything about him. And I figured if they're teaching in Sunday school, then that's where I'm going to learn. Hallelujah. That's where I'm going to hear about it. Amen. The preaching of the word during the worship services is to stir me for one thing, to reach out and lay a hold what it is that God talked to me about in Sunday school. And that he's talking to me in the preaching. The Sunday school, you are going to get, oh, wow. How many like breakfast food? Bacon, eggs, toast, hash browns. Oh, wow, what is it about that? What is it about that? I mean, breakfast food, cereal, oatmeal. Ain't nobody actually, oh, there's one. Oh, no, but when you think of breakfast, you do. You think of bacon, eggs, toast, biscuits, and gravy. Oh, wow, sorry to make your mouth water. Praise the Lord. Pancakes. Oh, now, if we were serving up all that on Sunday morning, how many would be here? Well, hang on, because we're serving something far greater than that, that will meet your spiritual need like God wants to meet it in a place called Sunday school. That's where third-class passengers come. Why? Because they're going to get behind whatever God's doing, and they're going to push to get it accomplished. Hallelujah. Woo, third-class passengers. That's who God is looking for. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right, I'm going to skip one set of scriptures. Amen. How many's ever, I'm just going to cap it. How many has ever read the story of the demonic in the country of the Gadarenes? Possessed with 1,000 devils. When Jesus comes on the coast, he comes running to Jesus. That's a very important thing. Here's a man possessed with 1,000 devils, and he knows where he needs to go. And he comes running to Jesus. And not only running to Jesus, he comes and falls at his feet. Now, you got to realize this man's possessed of 1,000 devils. But he's still there. He's still in there. So are them devils right now. But he falls at Jesus' feet and begins to worship him. Do you realize that that is the steps that got him delivered? Praise God. When we humble our hearts and we begin to worship God for who he is, and in acknowledging who we are, that's the first steps to deliverance from whatever it is that's coming against us. Hallelujah. I'm not saying anybody's possessed of a devil, because if you were possessed of a devil in this service today, it would have been manifest and he would have been cast out. Because he would not have been able to tolerate what God was doing in this house just moments ago and what he's doing right now. And he would have manifested himself in an ugly way. And then we would have put him to flight. That's what third-class passengers do. Woo! They get behind what God is doing and they push it forward. Glory to God. They're not worried about who's going to get the glory. They're not worried about if they're going to get a pat on the back. They're not worried about whether anybody sees them or not. All they're worried about is doing what God wants done, when He wants it done, how He wants it done, and doing as much of it as they can. That's the third class passengers. Hallelujah. And so when God delivered him, when Christ delivered him, he immediately wanted to go with Jesus. He said, no, you go home. You tell everybody what God's done for you. Oh, wow. He immediately became a third class passenger. He went home. And he began to share the power of God and what God had done for him, and that Jesus had done it for him. Because right after all this happened, the people of that city came out and said, go away, go away. Oh my, we don't know what to do with all this. I mean, you know, he just drowned 1,000 hogs, 2,000 hogs in the sea. The devils did it, Jesus didn't. That's what devils will do, you know. They just want to kill you. Jesus wants to bring you life. Hallelujah. And when all the people saw this, number one, they weren't supposed to be raising hogs anyway. So they're thinking, oh my God, has come to destroy us. Because they weren't living right, doing right. But oh, then that demonic Gadarene, who's now in his right mind clothed. He was naked, you know. Now he's in his right mind and clothed. You know, when you get in your right mind, you'll be clothed. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so we see then he goes back into the city. He tells everybody what has happened in his life and what God has done for him. And when Jesus returns, they're all waiting for him. Oh, to receive him. And I don't know if you remember it or not, but as I was reading this, this is where we get the story of Jairus' daughter, who he comes to Jesus and he says, my daughter's sick. And then they come and they tell him, don't worry, don't bother the master, she's died. And Jesus said, only believe. And he raised her from the dead. And on that road that he was going headed for Jairus' house, this is where we hear the story of the little lady with the issue of blood. You realize this is the same people that told him to go away. But then when the man that was delivered by God shared all the goodness of God and the power of God, everybody was waiting for their turn with Jesus. I mean, they just came running to him. And this is where we get a lot of the healing stories. In the same place they told him to leave, but because the Gadarene went back and shared the goodness and greatness of God, then when he came back, they were full of faith and ready to receive. They were ready to be third class passengers. Praise God. Luke 4:38. And he rose out of the synagogue, entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with great fever. And they besought him for her. And he stood over her, rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them. You see, when God touches your life, he expects you to immediately arise and minister for him. I mean, this is a glorious miracle in itself. How many's ever got up from a headache, a migraine headache, a fever, COVID, and immediately went to work? I'm thankful for the grace of God that takes us through it. But he just didn't take her through it. He got rid of it. And she got up immediately and started cooking, building a fire. It wasn't like she just went over to the stove and turned it on. She had to build a fire, bring in the wood. She had to gather up the wheat, maybe grind the wheat. Oh, wow. You know, I mean, she just went right to work. When Jesus Christ saves your soul and washes you clean, he wants you to rise up and be a third class passenger. He wants you to go right to work. Hallelujah. He wants you to get behind whatever he's doing and give it all your might. God is looking for third class passengers. Amen. Sister Pepper, would you come back to the piano just for a little bit here? Thank you for your giving to the missions. Thank you for your tithe and offering. That is what third-class passengers do. They pay their tithe, they give an offering, and they give to missions. Why? Because that's what God's doing, and they get behind it and push it forward. Hallelujah. You see, the church can't operate without finances. Amen. Can you operate without finances? No. And neither can the church. And that's where your tithe and your offering go, just to give you an idea of what summertime does to the bills of the church. And I'm not whining, I'm not crying, because you're giving people. But our electric bill from camp meeting and the majority of July, or part of July, was $1,000. Well, that wasn't all of it, but just for this sanctuary, that gym room, was $1,086 was the electric bill. But you have provided. And that's a wonderful thing. Because I'll be honest with you, sometimes as the pastor, I'm saying, God, I don't see how we're going to get this all done. I get to worrying a little bit about the finances. But it just seems like you always start giving when you need to give, paying your tithes. You know, I mean, sometimes situations arise, and I have had different ones come to me and said, I can't do it right now. This broke. I said, I understand that. God understands that. But he said, it's coming. That helps me. That helps me. Praise God. But it takes finances to operate, you know, this facility. And so if you ever wonder where your tithe and your offerings go, that's where the majority of it goes. It's just to pay the bills. Just to pay the bills. Now, when you give in this little jar right here, that goes right into the building fund. And we've got projects in the wings. I don't know why I'm sharing all this with you, but I am. We got projects in the wings. You know, we've got a vision of putting men's and women's restroom back here instead of way out there. Wouldn't that be wonderful? So you wouldn't have to get up and go all the way down through there and everybody see you go. Man, you'll just go to that door back there in that corner. It will go through it and all the way into, yeah. Ladies, you'll just go right there where it says women already. And there will be restrooms behind the sanctuary. Wouldn't that be wonderful? That's what put it in here. That determines how fast we're going to get it. Put it in there. We are going to take the children's church area and remodel it and make it look like this. Not just like this, but nice to be a place for children's church. I mean, we got all kinds of things that we're still going to do and we want to do. So that's where your building bucks goes, your tithe, your offering, and your missions always goes to missions. That's where it goes. Hallelujah. Praise God. So thank you for being third class passengers. And if you've not made it there yet, well, today's your day to become one. Hallelujah. All my heart, all my soul, all my strength, all my mind, I'm following Jesus. I'm serving Jesus. I want to be one of those third class passengers. Stand with me if you would. Father in heaven, I praise your mighty name. Oh God, I worship you. God, I thank you, Lord God, for your Holy Ghost. God, that has moved in this house this morning. that has touched our hearts and touched our minds, Lord God, and given us strength and courage to go forward, to push with the children of God, to fight the fight of faith, to lay hold of eternal life. Lord, to overcome, Lord, this attack of the enemy upon our lives. Oh, truly, God, you are great. You are mighty. Hallelujah. And Lord, you have shown forth your love for us this very morning, this very day. Oh, Lord, I just want to be there for you, Lord. I want to rise up, Lord. I want to bring forth 30-fold, 60, 100. God, I want to be a third-class passenger for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. The Savior of my soul, the one that took my place on Calvary. Oh, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lamb.